Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services, Inc. First Quarter Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services, Inc. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to Total Energy Services, Inc.'s First Quarter 2015 Conference Call. Present with me this afternoon is Yulia Gorbosh, our Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015. We will then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for questions. I will now turn the call over to Yulia.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statement due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sera.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news releases issued earlier today. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. The results for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, reflect challenging industry conditions due to a substantial decline in oil prices that began in late 2014, which in turn resulted in lower industry activity levels. For the first quarter of 2015, compared to the first quarter of 2014, revenues decreased 20% to $92.5 million, compared to $115.1 million. The revenues are broken down as follows. In contract drilling services, the revenue reported from Chinook drilling decreased by 76% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, to $5.2 million, compared to $21.7 million for the same period in 2014. Chinook had 263 operating days on spot release basis during the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, with a fleet of 18 rigs. This is compared to 1,015 operating days for the 3 months ended March 31, 2014, with a fleet of 16 rigs. A sudden and unexpected substantial reduction by a significant customer of its winter drilling program disproportionately impacted drilling rig utilization due to Chinook's customer concentration going into the first quarter of 2015. Revenue per operating day decreased by 7% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, compared to the first quarter of 2014. This was primarily due to a decrease in day rate pricing. The contract drilling services division generated EBITDA of $1.7 million for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, as compared to $9.2 million for the comparable period in 2014. The divisional EBITDA margin for the first quarter of 2015 was 32%, as compared to 42% for the first quarter of 2014. Decreased pricing and lower rig utilization were primarily responsible for the year-over-year decreased EBITDA margin. In rentals and transportation services, the revenue reported from Total's rentals and transportation services division, Total Oilfield Rentals decreased by 23% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015 to $29.9 million compared to $38.6 million for the same period in 2014. Average utilization of rental assets was 38% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, as compared to 51% for the same period in 2014. Despite significant pressure on pricing, revenue per utilized rental piece during the first quarter of 2015 increased by 2% as compared to the first quarter of 2014, due primarily to the equipment mix operating and the larger heavy truck fleet relative to the size of rental equipment fleet. This division exited the first quarter of 2015 with approximately 10,000 pieces of rental equipment and 119 heavy trucks as compared to 9,900 pieces of rental equipment and 109 heavy trucks at March 31, 2014. Divisional EBITDA for the first quarter of 2015 was $10.5 million as compared to $16.8 million for the comparable period in 2014. The EBITDA margin in this division was 35% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, as compared to 43% for the first quarter of 2014. This decrease in EBITDA margin resulted primarily from decreased pricing as well as low equipment utilization, given the relatively high fixed cost structure within this business division. In compression and process services, the revenue reported from Total's energy compression and process services division increased 5% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, to $57.4 million. As compared to $54.7 million for the same period in 2014. The revenue increase from the prior year comparable period was due primarily to increased fabrication sales arising from continued customer demand. This division exited first quarter of 2015 with a fabrication sales backlog of approximately $86.6 million as compared to $49 million as at March 31, 2014. Excluded from the fabrication sales backlog are compression units being built for the rental contracts. Horsepower of compression on rent was approximately 38,400 at March 31, 2015, as compared to 51,400 horsepower at March 31, 2014, and 45,000 horsepower at December 31, 2014. During the first quarter of 2015, approximately 6,400 horsepower rental units were returned. The compression rental fleet experienced an average utilization of 77% based on fleet horsepower during the first quarter of 2015, as compared to 91% for the same period in 2014. Divisional EBITDA for the first quarter of 2015 was $10.7 million, as compared to $11.6 million for the comparable period in 2014. The 25% decrease in compression horsepower on lease at March 31, 2015 compared to March 31, 2014, was a significant reason for lower divisional EBITDA, as compression rental revenues usually generate higher EBITDA margin than fabrication sales. The EBITDA margin in this division was 19% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2015, as compared to 21% for the first quarter of 2014. Again, a reduction in compression equipment on rent was a primary reason for the lower EBITDA margin. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA decreased 39% to $21.9 million in the first quarter of 2015, or 71 cents per share on a diluted basis, from $35.7 million in the first quarter of 2014, or $1.02 per share on a diluted basis. Cash flow decreased 77% to $8 million in the first quarter of 2015, or 26 cents per share diluted, from $34 million in the first quarter of 2014, or 98 cents per share diluted. During the first quarter of 2015, $12.7 million of income taxes relating to 2014 taxable income were paid, as Total was not required to make income tax installments during 2014. Adding back 2014 taxes paid during the first quarter of 2015, cash flow for the first quarter of 2015 would have been approximately $20.7 million, a 39% decrease from the first quarter of 2014, which is generally in line with overall year-over-year performance. Net income decreased 56% to $9.2 million, or 30 cents per share diluted, for the first quarter of 2015, compared to $21 million, or 63 cents per share diluted, for the first quarter of 2014. Net income for the first quarter was negatively impacted by an unrealized loss on marketable securities that reduced net income by $1 million, or 3 cents per share. On the balance sheet, comparing March 31st, 2015 to December 31st, 2014, total assets decreased 1% to $587.4 million as compared to $595.9 million at December 31st, 2014. The company's financial condition remains strong, with a positive working capital balance of $19.2 million, even after reclassifying as a current liability $66.9 million relating to the convertible debentures that will be redeemed on May 19, 2015. Total Energy continued to have no bank debts as at March 31, 2015. Given the reclassification on convertible debentures to current liabilities, the long-term debt to long-term debt plus equity ratio was nominal at March 31, 2015. Shareholders' equity increased 2% to $389.4 million at March 31, 2015, as compared to $382.1 million at December 31, 2014.
Thank you, Yulia. Total Energy's results for the first quarter of 2015 reflect challenging industry conditions in the North American energy services industry. The reduction in industry activity that began in the first quarter has continued into the second quarter, and we expect 2015 will be a difficult year for our industry. Beginning in the first quarter, we have taken appropriate action to right-size our capacity and improve operating efficiencies in each of our business divisions, without compromising our ability to conduct operations in a safe and efficient manner. We will continue to manage our operating cost structure as future industry conditions warrant. During the first quarter, our contract drilling services division experienced the downside of relatively high customer concentration. That said, we are pleased with the ability of this division to remain profitable at such low equipment utilization levels. Efforts have been made to reduce operating costs so that our contract drilling services division is able to profitably compete in the currently highly competitive market, and we believe we can do so. However, as is the case in all of our businesses, we will not pursue work at a loss simply to put equipment to work. The industry slowdown was also felt in our rental and transportation services division. While first quarter equipment utilization was down 25% from 2014, EBITDA margins contracted by only 19% due to cost management within this division. Revenue per utilized rental piece actually increased slightly during the first quarter of 2015 compared to 2014 as a result of the mix of equipment working and a larger heavy truck fleet relative to the size of the rental equipment fleet. During the first quarter, this division completed the purchase of a private oil field transportation company based in Casper, Wyoming. This acquisition added 10 units to our heavy truck fleet and provided a small but well-established market presence in the U.S. Rocky Mountain region, as well as a number of required federal and state operating licenses that will facilitate future growth in the United States. Our compression and process services division continues to perform well, although it is certainly not immune from the industry downturn. The impact of the industry downturn was felt during the first quarter with the return of several compression rental units as producers responded to lower commodity prices by curtailing or shutting in production. A number of the rental units returned were Nomads, our large horsepower mobile compression packages, as the proven cost-effective ability to move these units allowed customers to quickly adjust their field compression capacity to their immediate production requirements. Ironically, while the mobility of the Nomad negatively impacted first quarter compression rental fleet utilization, the same mobility clearly demonstrates the flexibility and cost effectiveness of our patented technology that we fully expect will continue to drive solid demand for the Nomad. Total Energy's experienced and dedicated staff and balance sheet strength provide our company with tremendous operational stability. Despite the challenges facing our industry, existing and potential customers can be confident that each and every one of our business divisions is well positioned to provide them with quality equipment and excellent service without compromising safety or efficiency, and that we will be around to stand behind our products and services. Finally, I would like to encourage our shareholders and other interested persons to attend our annual shareholders meeting that is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Thursday, May 21st at the Calgary Petroleum Club. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Scott Treadwell from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Afternoon, guys. I wanted to start, it's half a comment, maybe half a question. Dan, were you guys surprised at the ability of the drilling segment to generate profit at that low level of utilization, especially when, as you said, the shift in utilization was really unplanned and you likely went in kind of girded for a much busier winter?
Well, certainly, Scott, we were caught off guard. I think a lot of people were. You know, we had some fairly obvious customer concentration. Anyone looking at the rig locator could figure that out. You know, the other thing is the Cardium area. If you look at year-to-date spud to release activity, has been one of the hardest hit areas. And that's where a lot of our rigs were. So certainly we got on the cost side pretty quickly. We like to think we're reasonably efficient at the best of times, but when you go down to 17% utilization, you certainly can find a few more efficiencies. So I'm not surprised, but I'm pleased with how operationally our division, pulled the horns in, got their costs under control. You know, I think the significance of that is on a go-forward basis, we know that we can compete within reason in the spot market, pretty much in 95% of what's being drilled in Western Canada. You know, obviously, we're not going to compete in situations where, for whatever reasons, pricing is something that's not sustainable. You know, but
okay,
That'll be our decision, not the banks.
Right. Second one for me, with the, I don't know if you'd call it a reorganization on the balance sheet side, gives you some either stability or some line of sight to fund some acquisitions if you want. Oh, I'm just wondering what the M&A landscape is like. It's probably working capital release time, so it may not be worst days for some of these guys. But at what point do you think you really hit the squeal point for some of these potential acquisitions, or potentially have you already hit it?
I think we're letting things season a little bit more, Scott. You know, first of all, you're going to see the working capital positions of various participants, convert receivables to cash. That's happening. You know, we see it with our own situation. We're in a very strong cash position right now. That said, if you're not making any money, you're not realizing margin, you got too much debt, you know where that cash is going to go. Secondly, I think given the recent Alberta election, we're taking a cautious approach, and less than until we see some certainty on the direction that the new provincial government's going to go, we're going to take a fairly cautious approach on any significant M&A activity that's Alberta-centric. That said, we're becoming a more international company, notably in the U.S., so I expect you know, I'll probably spend a little more time outside of Alberta. But I think generally within the North American market, we need things to season, and probably over the next 3 to 6 months, that seasoning process will start to ripen.
Okay, that's great. That's all I've got. I appreciate the color, guys. I'll turn it back.
Thanks.
Thank you. The following question is from John Bereznicki from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, John.
I'm just wondering if you could quickly update us on your capital spending plans here. I apologize if I didn't see it in the full press release.
They haven't changed. I think our preliminary budget was, what was it, Julia? 16 point some, including five of carry forward. So, you know, we obviously spent $1.1 million on the acquisition in Q1. We have no changes. Most of our capital budget is discretionary, including our compression rental fleet addition. So, you know, we're not going to deploy capital in any areas unless, you know, it makes sense for us. But for the first 3 months, John, we spent 6.5 roughly on PP&E, 1.2, pardon me, on the acquisition of the business. So the $6.5 million, the majority of that would have been cleanup from 2014. So no changes, and frankly, no material, well, no commitments really at all at this point.
Okay, appreciate the color. And then just secondly, wondering if you could just give us a sense of what you're seeing in the compression business so far in Q2, both in terms of backlog and the rental side of the business.
I think the industry is more cautious for sure. Obviously, you know, there's a significant infrastructure deficit that hasn't gone away. But given, I think, a combination of the commodity price decline combined with, frankly, some political uncertainty right now, people are, I would say the bid activity is reasonably strong. People are not in a hurry to pull triggers. The flip side is triggers are being pulled. But definitely there's a more cautious approach out there on debt.
Okay.
No question about that. But, again, you know, solid backlog. We continue to seek efficiencies to be able to compete effectively, and pretty happy with how that division's, you know, managing their cost structure and ultimately able to, you know, compete effectively without working for nothing.
Got it. All my other questions have been answered, so thanks for the color.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The following question is from John Morrison from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, all.
Hi, John.
Dan, can you give a little color on how utilization was able to hold up as well as it did within rentals and transportation segment? Realistically, you only pulled back half of what industry was, and was it just a function of geographic positioning, or did you ultimately pick up some customers in the quarter?
If you replay our Q4 conference call, I said we were going to buy some market share back, and we're doing that.
Yeah, that was my follow-up. So your pricing strategy is a little bit different this time around. We're ultimately
clearly.
Okay.
We're throwing some punches now, but within reason.
So what does throwing some punches mean to Dan?
Working cheaper, working harder for less money.
How much do you feel pricing has contracted from, call it 2014 year end, within the rentals platform?
You know, it really depends on the line of equipment in the area, but we're seeing pricing in some product lines in certain areas that I haven't seen in 18 years.
So it's fair to say that some things are 50% plus off.
Brutal. Which is not sustainable. In some cases, we don't participate, but what it tells me is the next 3 to 6 months will be a very interesting period for rental and transportation companies.
Are those comments true to the transportation side as much as the rental?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The good thing about trucks is they go down quicker.
Within Chinook, do you believe you can backfill some of that unique customer exposure in the back half of the year, or ultimately?
Yes, we're working hard to do that. Again, there's only 80 rigs working today. It's within the context of the market. But, You know, our guys are loyal to customers. We don't market rigs when they're working for someone. You know, obviously, customers have changes in plans, and we work with them, and we're now looking for more customers. But, again, it's a tight market out there, so, you know, within reason. But step number one was to get our cost structure as tight and efficient as possible. So step two is we can pass those savings on to our customers and be competitive. You know, at some point, though, if things are so tight, you kind of wonder why even bother drilling a well. But I think, you know, the recent oil price uptick might be helping on a few fronts, but I'm not going to call a bottom to oil. That's never been our way, and I'd defer to you guys first on that, John. But we're going to compete hard and look to broaden our customer base over time, you bet.
Based on your conversations with sales guys, are you expecting day rates to contract further in the back half of the year from Q1, or you believe
things
have largely stabilized?
We're pretty much there. We're not. We have no more room on our end. So, you know, I can't comment on what other people are going to do. But day rates, unless we can find some material ways to reduce costs, we're at bottom.
Are you going to be marketing all the rigs in the back half of the year in Chinook?
We're marketing them all right now.
Just to follow on John's question on the compression and process side, was all of the reduction that you saw in the backlog in the quarter actually processed through the facilities, or was there any contract cancellations in the quarter?
We've had one contract cancellation, but we're just negotiating the buyout on that. We have not recorded any revenue for that, so it's not included in the P&L.
And it's fair to say that the...
Not material.
It's fair to say the $85 million-ish that's remaining in the backlog today, you believe that's largely going to be honored, and most of that should be processed in the coming quarters?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you just expand on the U.S. acquisition and what the driver to go there was, and whether it was just price, opportunity, region, and ultimately how you came across the deal?
Well, we pursued it because we want to make money, a return on our capital, but it was identified by our people that were operating in that area. Largely through being pulled down there, kind of a little bit how we got pulled into North Dakota, and one of our senior employees there identified the opportunity and handed off to corporate, and we're very happy. We've got a great company there, long-standing operation, been in business for 35 years, and very good people, and I think the partnership between us and them is solid. And we're excited to use that as a significant base to grow. So, you know, hopefully we can do a few more of those. I call them singles. You can either hit four of those or one home run, but a few singles is, you know, certainly on our radar screen.
Are you expecting to redeploy any material assets from Canada down there before the year end?
Yes.
On both the trucking and rental side?
I'm not going to comment specifically, but certainly, you know, expanding our presence down there offers the opportunity to relocate underutilized assets. I'm not going to comment specifically on what we're doing there, though.
Last one just for me. On the M&A side, can you give any sense of how much deal flow has increased or marketed opportunities have increased across your desk relative to what you'd normally see in a normalized market, call it?
Up very
last 3 or 6 months. Sorry?
Up significantly. We're seeing a lot of deals pitched to us, both directly from potential vendors and through brokers and agents.
So it's fair to say twofold plus.
This is as high as I've ever seen in the last 5 years.
Appreciate the color.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The following question is from Dana Benner from AltaCorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's John for Dana. Just had one quick question on the M&A front. Wondering if you'd look at any sort of international acquisitions outside of North America, specifically in the compression side of things?
Never say never. Our focus right now is on North America, John.
Okay.
But we're seeing stuff from all over the place, so you never say never, but definitely the focus is on North America.
Okay, great. That's all I have. Thanks.
No problem.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Halleck.
If there are no further questions, I'd like to thank everyone for participating in our conference call, and we look forward to either seeing you at our annual general meeting or speaking with you after our second quarter. Thank you, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.